Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, the Mind Body Misfits edition. Here are your hosts for today, Paul Galoro and Claudia Miko.
And here we are. We are the Mind Body Misfits. Nailed it. Claudia Miko. Here we are. It's February. I can't believe it. 2023, I feel like, is already flying by. I don't want to be that guy. I know we just got here. But happy February. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous.
Thank you.
It's Heart Month. We have a fun conversation about the heart coming up today. I'm really excited for today's episode. But before we get into that, let's just do a quick check-in, because you've got some things that are coming up. You've got your LSD program that's always running.
Yeah, Lift, Stretch, and Defy, LSD every Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Your time, which is Eastern time, and 7 a.m. Hawaiian time. That's like a Pilates yoga mind body class. And then what we have coming up is a very small group, very small group for trauma sensitive fitness and hypnosis for instructors for ACE credits in February on the 17th and the 24th. So look out for that.
Yes. So they are two workshops that you're doing for fitness professionals. You can get ACE credits. And those are the topics. Check out ClaudiaMiko.com for that. Yes, all that information.
ClaudiaMiko.com, or message me privately.
Yeah, all that ways that you can do that is in the show's notes. And of course, I've got my Arise program that is ongoing. We've welcomed a few new people in. And I just got to say, my favorite thing about Arise now, aside from the fact that, you know, we're meeting, we get together every single day, or every weekday, I should say. But every Thursday,
5 days a week,
Monday to Friday, but every Thursday. So Tarot Tuesday. So every Tuesday I pick a tarot card. And then on Thursdays, we do like full on workout. It's like, you know, we're doing our grapevines and our repeater knees and all sorts of stuff to get our heart rates going on Thursday mornings.
Beautiful.
Super exciting. Every Thursday morning, that's how we start our day. So for those of you that are interested, check out the show's notes link for how you can register. And for listening to the podcast, you can save $100 with the code that's included in the show's notes to save $100 off your first 3 months registration. But I want to talk about, we're just going to circle back to our conversation that we had last time, because we had one of our listeners, a dear friend of ours, reached out to me and sent a message. First of all, she loved our transition when we were talking about sex, how we were talking about building muscles, and then we just all of a sudden transitioned into our orgasms. So she loved that. But she also said, she wanted to remind us, she said, while the right amount of strength training enhances sex, too much strength training can also impede it. And that is very true. We didn't mention it because we were too busy talking about our orgasms, but that was something that
which
our
is
listener
true,
wanted
yeah.
to remember.
Especially for men, because testosterone decreases during overtraining. The good news is that after 3 months of not overtraining, testosterone levels tend to come back to normal. And for women, it's a little bit different. We're just a little more tired. But for men, the testosterone really does decrease, and that does inhibit their performance.
Right, right. So as much as we were saying, yes, resistance training is amazing, we always want to do it in moderation, and we want to do it in balance too. Because I also want to just remind listeners, we weren't shitting on cardio last month. Cardiovascular exercise is very good for you, but we were just saying, for certain things that you wanted in terms of changing the shape of your body or building strength and resistance training is the way to go. Which then brings us into our conversation topic for this month. February is all about the heart. We're talking love, but we're gonna bring a little mind body misfit spin onto it. So Claudia, let's talk about cardiovascular exercise or training, whatever it is that we're going to call it, but basically working the heart and lungs.
So working the heart and lungs, it's one of the main components of physical fitness. cardiorespiratory. So the ability of your heart and your lungs, right, to deliver oxygen, nutrients, move blood through the body. And the ability for you to do that without fatigue, right? So your body's ability for your heart to function without fatigue. So the idea behind exercising our heart is so that we can do our daily activities without fatigue. So we exercise 3 or 4 days a week, or 5 days a week, 150 minutes a week, according to the American College of Sports Medicine, 150 minutes a week of some type of rhythmic movement that uses the large muscles. That will work the heart. And then your daily activities will feel a lot easier. Your blood pressure will normalize. You'll lose body fat. Your heart functions better. Your posture's better. It helps with anxiety, depression. Tension helps your digestion. So there's many benefits for cardiovascular or cardiorespiratory fitness or cardiovascular endurance exercise that we could go on and on about, but those are the main ones.
Mm-hmm. And just as we want to strengthen our muscles, like our skeletal muscles, with resistance training, our heart is also a muscle. And by doing cardiovascular, and now let's just, I love what you said, rhythmic movement. So it doesn't necessarily mean running on a treadmill or going on an elliptical or climbing stairs. It can be dance. Mm-hmm. It can be any kind of sport, anything that really gets your body moving and your heart rate elevated to a place that is higher than what your heart
Break. And for a period of time, that's also key, because physiologically, the trainers will know that you do have to go into the Krebs cycle for that to occur. And we don't need to get into the physiology of it, but you want to do it sustained for a period of time.
Right, right.
That's the key. Rhythmic. You can dance. You can have sex for long periods of time if you're really good at it. My whole thing is I really am looking for a guy. Well, I'm not saying I'm looking for anybody. I'm just saying when I'm looking, if I was looking, perhaps, but I'm not, but I might be. You never know. I want one that can read, but I also want one that can dance a little bit. At least I know he can.
He can keep a beat.
You can keep a beat.
Yeah.
Because your heart, I just want to say this, the funniest thing about the heart is people will say things like, oh, I don't have a beat, I can't dance. But if you have a heartbeat, you have rhythm, right? Your heartbeat is your natural body rhythm. So if you have a heartbeat, you got rhythm.
Yes. And that's why we want to make sure that our sexual partner knows how to dance, because we want them to work that rhythm and we want them to be good with that rhythm so our rhythms can sync up. But this then brings us to the next thing, because yes, we can talk about the physical aspects of working the heart, but we're the mind body misfit, so we always take it a little bit deeper. Let's talk about the language of the heart, because this, I know this is near and dear to your heart, this topic about how our language affects our body. So I'm going to kind of just sit back for a moment and let you lead on this part of the conversation, because I just love your take on this.
Well, there is a mind-body definition to everything that I do. So if we talk about the heart, we're going to talk about cardiorespiratory, we're going to talk about the definition. So all of these areas can really have more than one definition, but I want to keep it to just one or two points here in our practice. Generally, we refer to our chest as the identity center, right? You know, we put our hands on our heart and we say, I, right? The all important I, right? And we can look around at our friends, our family, when we're having conversation or just anyone we're talking to, and notice how often does that person place their hands on their chest, or how often do you place your hands on your chest when you're talking about yourself, right? Or when you're expressing really how you feel. So it's really interesting to note how often we put our hands there when we're talking about ourselves or referencing our heart, saying things like heartbreak, I'm heartbroken, Or somebody's cold, we say, he's a cold-hearted
snake.
Just look at music, right? We say things like heartfelt thanks. The heartbreak of psoriasis, if you're old enough to remember that commercial. feelings of compassion, joy, rejection, like getting stabbed in the back, which is where your heart is, you know. It's in the back. People think it's all the way in the front, but if you look at your physiology and anatomy chart, you see it's all the way in the back. So love, belonging, right? Feeling, again, putting our hand on our heart, belonging, yearning, right? The longing, right? The longing for the love that's missed, right? I miss you so much, right? But really, we're just missing ourselves. But rejection, fear, self-worth, and all of those things, in my opinion, and over my practice over 35 years, I've seen biological reflections of people who were feeling heartache and literally being depressed. And then all of a sudden they start having some heart problems. So women and men both need to pay attention to that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's tons of science that shows that our emotions and the words that we use do have an effect on our body and how it affects the heart. So definitely something important to consider. Now, let me ask you this question, because I know what you do in your practices. I mean, like in the classes that you lead and stuff, if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it. But everyone get it. Like, I mean, you just do it so slightly. Like, it's not like it's pointed there, but the way that you cue and the way that you speak to your clients and your participants is like speaking directly to their heart and trying to get those words into their awareness so that they start speaking to their heart in that way. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do, because I believe that fitness is a form of self-love. If it's not beating ourselves up, which is another reason that we wanted to talk about this, was that we want people to do cardio, we want them to exercise, but we don't want them to do it in a way where they're doing it as a punishment to themselves. So looking at it from a self-love, right? And that comes from really the breath, right? Because without the breath and the lungs, the heart's not going to take anything anywhere. You have to have all of these things for everything to go. So there's self-love, there's breath and beingness, the beingness, being. You're a human being, you're not a human doing. And then moving outward, spiritual, you know, faith and belief, right? That's one of the things that I bring into our work. The mental aspect, like clarity is power, right? The breath brings us clarity. Posture, the physical aspect. When we are standing upright, it's so subtle, but you actually feel more open. You're not closed off and feeling like you have to guard so much in the heart. And that happens all the time. We're guarding. We're fearful, right, in this culture. And then emotional, right? Feeling, allowing ourselves to feel and express versus repression and depression, which we talk about with Alexander Lowen's bioenergetics. And really, again, circling back to faith and spirituality of whatever that is for us. Is it meditation? Meditating on our heart? Is it the senses? Is it nature? Is it prayer? Is it movements? Right? Is it singing? Is it chanting? Is it birth? Is it death? Is it stillness? Is it art? And making that a priority.
The important thing I think that we don't really focus on a lot, I mean, you and I do, and most mind-body practitioners, teachers, instructors, whatever term we want to use, we are aware of the importance of the heart space and the energetic heart center, because that is the way. So if we look at the chakra system, for example, the heart is smack dab in the middle of the seven chakras. We've got the three lower level ones that are all the earthly things, the physical world. The actual elements are earth, water, and fire. Then heart is air. And then everything above that is spirit, right? So we've got sound, we've got sight, and we've got our intuitive connection, our connection to the divine. The heart center is that place where heaven meets earth, if you will. Yes. The heavenly chakras meet the earthly chakras, right? It's from our heart space that we are able to connect with other human beings, right? So energetically, when you and I are getting together, or you and I are having a conversation, or, you know, anybody, any two or more humans coming together, they're connecting from that heart space. And making sure that we're physically strong is going to ensure that we are spiritually and emotionally strong, energetically strong in that space as well.
Yes, exactly. That physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And now, can I just, I love what you just said about the chakras, because we don't always talk about that. People don't really understand them, and we could have a whole course on that. But I know you probably work on this in your Arise class, right? A little bit about chakras.
Yes, and we definitely do, but I don't directly like point out to it as the chakra system. If that, you know, it's integrated into the whole thing.
Familiar with the chakra system. And this comes back to love and beingness and connecting with another person, where we may connect on a heart level, but we may not connect in our throat chakra or mentally. Mm-hmm. There's all different kinds of love. And because it's Valentine's Day and people are always looking for their great love, is, you know, unbelievable, you know, this thing that probably doesn't necessarily exist for everybody. But the idea of using the chakras as a way to line up with somebody, knowing that, you know, we line up here in our, sorry, I'm pointing to my head. We line up in our third eye, we line up in our communication, we line up in our heart, we line up in our solar plexus, we line up in our, you know, in our sexual organs, and we line up as a grounding force too. It's mm-hmm. not always the same, but when we're looking for somebody that we want to share energy with, you know, it's nice to line up in the heart space. It's nice to line up in those other spaces too. You know, how to make meaningless sex more meaningful, you know, something like that.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, I love the idea of the chakra system, because one time my mentor, Gloria, she was giving a lecture and she was talking about this lining up process. And she would say, when I look at people, I look at them from what their chakras are like. And she would always say, she'd say, okay, well, tell me, you know, who is this person? They have very strong money, right? Their root chakra. They have very strong sexual, you know, power energy. They have a lot of solar plexus energy. They don't have heart energy, but they're a great communicator. Right. Mm-hmm. And they see things ahead, or they do have vision. So when you are missing that heart and you're a great communicator, you have Hitler. Mm. Hitler, a type of Hitler. And mm-hmm. it always stuck with me when she would look at people from that energetic perspective of, if they didn't have a heart energy, but they were really good at this, or really good, you know, at sex. And how the heart was, like you said, that main connector of the earth and the spirit, and how mm-hmm. we bring that all together. Anyway, I just love mm-hmm. to, I love to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love what you just said there. It is, for me, the heart is, if you're not bringing the heart into it, really, you're not bringing spirit into it. You're not bringing, there's no juice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah sure, sex without heart, there's no juice. You know, but
not having lube. You know,
not just that. I just mean, well, I mean, like Spiritual Jews. But okay, let's also put
spiritual Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, look at, you can tell somebody who is, like, you can tell a performer that's just a get your paycheck and run situation. You could tell when somebody doesn't put their heart into it. Circling back to your conversation earlier about the words that we use, there, yeah, you can definitely sense a different, somebody can be wonderful technically, let's say like a beautifully technical dancer, but if their heart's not in it, you're just seeing someone go through the motions. But then, yes, on the other side, you can see somebody who has no technical understanding of dance, but their heart is in it, they're feeling it, they're going with it. And that's a completely different experience to observe, but then also to be in. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think that a lot of times I prefer that dancer as opposed to the technical. And I think in our training and as an instructor, we have the same thing. We mm-hmm. have demonstrators, right? Who are, and not all of them, most people are in fitness for the heart, a lot of them, but some of them are in it for the ego as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A great communicator and, you know, really good at the internet and know, has some money behind them and that sort of thing. And then there's those people who are in it only for the heart. And, you know, we don't even feel like we should be paid for it because, you know, there goes the other side of it where our heart, you know, is so in it that we mm-hmm. don't feel worthy almost of it because we feel like we should be doing it for free. So there is that in our own field where we are not accepting heartfelt thanks from our clients mm-hmm. for the job that we do and mm-hmm. the pay that we should get for doing it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to kind of sidebar, but mention something. Something that shifted for me, because for years and years and years, people would tell me, oh, Paul, that was a great class, or Paul, I really enjoy, you know, the blah, blah, blah. And it would literally like go in one ear, out the other, not for no other reason than I didn't have the confidence that I do now, that I did back then, but for whatever reason, I just didn't receive it. Now, anytime somebody offers me a compliment, you'll see me put my hands up like this. For those of you for everyone that's listening, my palms are facing forward and I say, thank you, I receive that. And if I don't say it out loud, I'm saying it in my head. I receive that, I receive that, I receive that. Because for many, 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 many years, I mean, only up until recently, I didn't do that. I would kind of push away the heartfelt thanks that my clients were offering me. And that's almost can be, if we're going to look at that energetically, it's almost like a form of, not an intentional rejection, but it is a rejection, right? Because it's not, if somebody's offering you their heartfelt thanks, and you're like playing small and being bashful and be like, no, oh, it's not me or whatever, you know, just kind of pushing that is kind of rejecting. So anyways, all what I'm trying to say is,
yeah, I agree with you.
I receive that.
And I know you are amazing, by the way. So receive that.
Thank you. I do.
and I think that goes to, there is a, you do want to be humble. Mm-hmm. I think being humble is not happening as much as it used to be. you know, and I think that there's a lot of people who are not humble, and then I think some of us need to be more humble. So that is an important quality also, but it does, when somebody does give us a compliment, it can definitely feel like something you want to say, oh, you know, no, but we need to receive it. And you're right, on the other end, people do feel like it's a form of rejection. Mm-hmm. Or they're, you're kind of cutting them a little bit, like what they said was not valid.
Yeah. Well, I also think of going back to yoga training and the yamas and niyamas, I can't remember the Sanskrit term for it right now, but non-stealing. It's like if somebody's offered, is that asteya? When somebody like,
No, wait.
No, I think asteya is truth. No, satya is truthfulness.
Rochester. Oh my gosh, they were going back. I should have known my heart for 37 years.
It's somewhere. It's something. But anyways, there's that ahimsa? One. It's ahimsa is nonviolence.
Nonviolence.
Oh my god, I have my book right here. You know what? Keep.
I thought it was Asteya, but anyway, I could be wrong.
But you could also be right. I don't remember much.
You may be right.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, when we reject, or when we stop somebody's praise for us, that is a form of stealing their opportunity to give. Right?
Yeah.
So anyways.
Asteya. Yeah, it's Asteya.
It is Asteya. Okay. See, you were right.
I should see it, but that's the thing. Because I don't trust myself, I think I'm wrong first.
Okay. So let's make a deal.
Want to analyze
right now. No, let's not even analyze it. You and I right now, in front of all of our listeners, let's make a deal that we're going to do our best to trust ourselves first.
Yes.
Before not trusting ourselves.
Exactly.
Okay. I dig
now,
it.
Okay. So now we need to also remind our listeners that the power of heart is not just a happy feeling. It's a neural event. Mm-hmm. It's a hormonal event. Mm-hmm. Because studies show that oxytocin is the love hormone. Right? Mm-hmm. Dopamine and serotonin are neurotransmitters that help you feel good, right? And oxytocin is a neuropeptide, which makes you feel good, makes you feel love. So it's like eating chocolate. It gives you that same sensation. So we really want people to understand that there is something valid to, if our client comes in and their husband just died, or like my dear friend who just passed away on Sunday, which it's hard for me to wrap my head around this, but to have to be able to go and to do and to perform and to be, when you're feeling like this, or when our client comes in after their husband died, or there is, you know, a lot that we can do by just being present, mm-hmm. In that way for our clients, that will help them to feel better, to literally help boost the hormones or the neurotransmitters and neuromodulators and neuropeptides that make them feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Really want to be there for them during those times.
Absolutely. It makes me think of, so one of the things that I'm a huge advocate for is feeling every human emotion that arises within us. Mm. And that includes grief, that includes sadness, that includes anger, that includes all of those things. Feel them so that they can move through us. And yeah. I think as trainers, as even group fitness instructors, so you know, we may not be one-on-one with our clients, we may not know always what's going on with our participants, but just holding ourselves in a way that people know it is a safe space to bring that into the experience so that they can move their bodies so that this energy and this emotion can move through them, yeah. I think is important. And it's important for us to understand how we can create that space, because that I kind of want to loop it back to something that you said before. If we don't create that safe space, then they're going to come in and they're going to guard their heart because their heart's already hurting.
Yeah.
Then they're going to, you know, try to play it off, or they're going to do something, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, to protect their heart. And then it's just masking something that wants to be felt. Yeah. And then we know what happens when we stuff down those things that need to be felt and expressed. When we're there's expressive versus repressive, right? It's expressive,
right, and repressive. Depressive,
yeah.
Right.
Right.
Expressive versus repression and depression.
Yes. Lowell, yeah.
Who has, talks about, love, sex, and your heart. Not now I'm jumping over to the sex, but
bound to happen.
But I know it was bound to happen. But this is something that if you are fortunate enough to have somebody in your life that you are mating with or having sex with or able to play around, it doesn't even have to have, you know, some just there's a lot to be said for cuddling. There's mm-hmm. a lot, you know, oxytocin happens with just being, like I said, whether you're mating with somebody or you're just a friend with somebody, that happens both ways. But we really want to encourage our clients to have healthy sex lives, mm-hmm. that there is a lot to be said for having a healthy sex life and your heart, mm-hmm. right? And not just using it as exercise, but as something that also enhances the exercise experience.
Yes. And but also expresses the relationship. If you're in a romantic relationship and you're doing that, to express that in ways beyond just words, in ways beyond like holding hands. And yeah, also, awesome. And also, I want to go back to what you said about cuddling. Like, I would love if my friends would cuddle with me more. Do you know what
you
I mean? Like,
friends who will cuddle you?
Yeah. Like, next right, time you're over, right? Like, we can have a little cuddle. I mean, it would be a little, a non-sexual cuddle, but.
Yeah, but, we can have non-sexual cuddling.
and we could take turns. I'll be the big spoon, you be the big spoon, yeah, you know, we flip.
It's a huge thing.
But the science is showing that a 20-second hug is where those hormones start to increase, right? Totally. So a cuddle is just a horizontal hug, isn't it?
Yes. So I have this thing that I do with a friend of mine. So whenever I give him a hug, I'll count to 30, 1001, we count to 30, just, you know, so our oxytocin levels get boosted up. I think he looked at me with 3 or 4 eyes the first time I did it, but then now he's gone, he's okay.
Now he gets it.
Yeah. But it's a fun, you know, it's a game, right? And do it as a game. It's like, okay, we're going to hug, you'll like it. You know, I do that with my cat. He hates to cuddle, right? So I'm like, you're cuddling whether you don't like it or not. I need this oxytocin today.
My puppy is in this room. He can hear this. I hope that he gets it because I like to hug him too. And sometimes, I don't know if your cat does this, but sometimes my dog, he'll like just give in to me and like he'll sigh or huff like when I'm hugging him. He's like, fine, like you just get it over with. And then I'm like kissing his face, but then he licks my face all the time. I think that's his way of like getting back, not getting back at me, but his way of returning the love that I expressed to him.
That's adorable. Yes. Yeah. Cats are not as open to the 30-second hug as dogs are.
Interesting as a Leo. But I do love hugs. So
hugs are good.
Hugs and are so good.
Not everybody likes hugs too. And it's tricky because, you know, when you're going in for the hug, you know, you never know. I'm pretty good. And of course, if there's a listener out there and I've hugged you and you didn't want it, you should definitely put that in the note. In your note. But I usually try to go in with a little, like, you know, feeling the vibe and knowing a little bit ahead of time. It's tricky.
But it is. Can I tell you something? At one point, I never used to ask people. I used to just get in for a hug. And there was, I wonder if this woman remembers this moment. So I was in a training. I was a student in a training. And there was a fellow student that worked for Ferrero and brought everyone jars of Nutella. Now, to know me is to know that I love Nutella, right? Ooh. So she comes with like a full jar, not a little sample size, like a full jar, hands it to me. I was like, oh my God. And I went to go hug her. And as I was hugging her, she was pulling away. And I'm like, oh my God, I love it so much. And I'm squeezing her. And she's like, literally like yanking away from me. And I did not, it didn't compute. And then I was talking to my partner at the time after, and I was like, I don't get it. He's like, some people don't like hugs. And I was like, what? It was like, it was like I learned that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, what do you mean? People don't like hugs. So from that moment forward, I start asking, are you open to hugs? And I mean, now that I ask that, very few people say no. That's a way to do it.
It's a good way to do it. I do. There are, you know, certain people that just are not huggers, and you just gotta like,
which I get, we all have our thing, but I'm telling you, that was a wake up moment for me.
And it's hard when you want to hug and people don't want to hug. It's hard for touchy feely people like me.
Yeah. Well, this is why we have animals, right?
Well, yeah. And I force hug my cat every day.
Is it, hug me or I'm not feeding you. Which one is it?
I withhold food.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
For you.
I think we covered everything, or at least we just rambled for the last however long we've been rambling. But the point is, we want to ensure that as we are working our heart, that we are remembering not just the physical aspect of making sure that we've got the sustained sustained movement, repetitive movement for 150 minutes a week, but we are also really sinking into that heart space, feeling our heart. One of the things that we always do in Arise is we start our practice and we end our practice with our hand on our heart to feel our heartbeat. That's it. And listeners, you can join, Claudia and I are both doing it right now, but just put your hand on your heart and count how many heartbeats it takes for you to take a deep breath in. And then try to match that number of heartbeats as you exhale. And just that simple thing right there connects you to your heart, to allow your heart to guide you. Did you know, energetically, let's talk about energy for a second, or frequency. The frequency of our brain is lower than the frequency of our heart. So our heart has a higher frequency than our brain. So when we, the moment we put our hand on our heart and we sync up to that rhythm, we're raising our vibration instantly.
It's back to entrainment.
Yeah.
And that we all have this same heartbeat rhythm. It's like when you bring a whole bunch of people in the room together, everybody's heartbeats synchronize.
Like clocks in a clock store.
Like a metronome, yeah.
Yeah. And this is why I love group exercise, or group fitness. I've said it since day one. Group fitness is like, it's a building block of world peace, I think.
I think so. I think it really brings people together. Rhythm, music, especially when there's music involved, but even if there isn't music involved, it's that bringing the breath and the heartbeat in synchronization, the entry.
We need more of it. So listeners, get yourself to a group fitness class, put your hand on your heart, and let us know what you think of today's topic. Send us a message. You can go to livingspiritfully.com, join the Living Spiritfully Collective, and leave a note there, or feel free, our contact info, you can send us a DM on from either our website or from our links, our social links that are in there in the show's notes. Claudia, anything else to add before we sign off?
I just want to say thank you, Paul. As always, you're amazing. And I hope you accept that. You receive it. And thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful Valentine's. Even if you're single, there's nothing wrong with it. I know society wants you to feel that way, but it's not true. Love is self-love first.
Yes, yes. And can I just say something? I remember there was this period of time they were calling it Singles Awareness Day, Valentine's Day. Singles Awareness. Let's just stop that bullshit. It's Valentine's Day. Valentine's is love, and it's love in all forms. Not just romantic, not just between two people that are married or dating or any of that stuff. Celebrate love with your friends, celebrate love with your pets, celebrate love with your colleagues, celebrate love with your neighbors. Just remember to celebrate love in all its forms, because we need a lot more of it on this planet. And on that note, Claudia, sign us off.
Why fit in when you were born to stand out? Aloha.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.